Happy Tuesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast live from One Buck Palace, starring the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, and Ira is in full uniform. He is looking sharp. The man just drips Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. In addition to greatness, how are you, Ira?
I'm good, my man. I also drip One Buck Place sweat, Mr. Isbitz. Speaking of representing, Lee, you saw me out here Saturday with the stick carriers. I represented with the Sage shirt. That shirt will now be washed and put away to be brought out for the New Orleans trip and the takeover night the day before the Bucks opener in New Orleans. You'll be there with me.
Mm-hmm.
The commish will be there. Steve will give you all the details a little bit later.
Will Javier be there?
Javier, I'm hoping he'll be there. He did not make the stick carriers on Saturday, so I'm hoping he'll be there. Guys, today is an anniversary day. Nobody out there in Buckland, nobody, including people that work in this building as we speak from One Buck Place, nobody realizes this. It's an anniversary.
Tom Ford?
Never mind that. 10 years ago, gentlemen, today, this very day, Brett Favre became a New York Jet and broke thousands of Buck hearts along the way.
And including Chucky.
There'll be some writings about this, and I'll go into detail. And, of course, who else but me would be the guy that pushed it to the limit during that week and said Favre was going to be a Buck? It didn't happen, but I'll tell the story behind the story of how it was very true when I wrote that story and pushed that button for the Tribune. That thing was going to happen, and it didn't. 10 years ago today, Lee, I'm going to ask you the question. I know I'm springing this on you. Who knows what would have happened
if
Favre would have came to Tampa? Would Chucky still have a job? We don't know about the 08 Bucks. Would they have won the division instead of collapsing? Boy, history could have been written a lot differently.
I can't say Chucky would still be here. That's a long time.
Long time.
What we know of Buck's history would have been changed, certainly.
You know, Favre was not 29 years old at that time, and he had some bumpy years going forward, but he also had some real good years left in that right arm, and who knows what would have happened with him and Chucky.
Oh, it was phenomenal in Minnesota that one year. He was unbelievable. And, you know, he was actually decent with the Jets. Really wasn't bad with the Jets.
Did he throw a horrible pick in the playoff game when he was with Minnesota?
Yes.
I think so.
Against the Saints.
But he had a big year.
Yeah, that ended it against the Saints. But, you know, it really would have changed Bucks history because, frankly, with Favre here, there's no way they fire Chucky after 08. No way, because they would have given it another year to gel, and Favre wouldn't have wanted to stay without Gruden.
You know what? That's an outstanding point over there, Steven.
It definitely would have changed Bucks history, and if Monty Kiffin still left, then Raheem Morris actually would have gotten to be a defensive coordinator. Who knows? But it's fun, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Ira. I can't wait to read your column. Really diving into the dirt on this, Ira. It's going to be fun. And
I'm reaching out to the man himself. The man himself.
Joel Glazer?
Never mind Joel Glazer. I'm talking about the gunslinger, baby. The gunslinger. I want to see what Favre says about it, so you'll read all about it this week.
Looking forward to it, Ira, and of course, it's an exciting time, not only here at JoeBucksFan.com, but at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Check out all the new offers on their websites, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira, 2018 clearance on all models. Zero down, zero security, zero first payment. All the details are at the website. Their beautiful dealership is right there, just west of 275.
Those are brand new vehicles, Stephen. Brand new 2018 vehicles.
Well, absolutely, Ira. They're not going to sell you a 2018 with 37,000 miles on it. But, you know, the cars do appear like that for the certified pre-owned Cadillacs. You know, somebody drives Cadillac for 9 months and brings it back and
trades it in.
And, you know, maybe, I once got
You see how DeKemper's mind works? Repoed. No, Cadillac owners don't get repoed over there.
The repo man knows no boundaries, Ira. Knows no boundaries. And at Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, you know, they are just spectacular. Certified pre-owned Cadillacs are always there. That's what I was mentioning. 6 years or a 100,000-mile warranty on those Cadillacs. 172-point inspection and reconditioning process. Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon.com. And, you know, we say it all the time, 70-plus years of Ed Morris service across Florida. We're so proud to have them right in there with all you do. And we got the new offers up at JoeBucksFan.com as well. All right, Ira. Now, that was exciting. The Favre thing, you know, it's a piece of Bucks history there's two elements to that. I don't know if you wrote your column yet or not, but there's two elements which I think are important. You know, the Glazers at that time, there was no floor in the NFL, so they were spending peanuts.
And frustrating the hell out of Gruden in the process.
Correct, and frustrating fans who were like, well, you know what? It's nice that they want to re-sign draft picks, but we're not spending any money, and other teams are. But if they gave Brett Favre the $13 million, which he was earning at that time, that would have sort of eliminated all of the cheap talk. And they were willing to do that. So it makes it kind of interesting. It's like they were willing to pay Favre, but
and of course,
spending the money elsewhere.
Steve, were trying to connect the dots because they had just bought Man U around that time. So, you know, the common theory, oh, they're spending all their money overseas and not on the local product.
All right, Ira, you were out there patrolling practice.
Before we even get to practice, may I mention in passing another anniversary that has passed with a little fanfare, and that is my two-year anniversary on Joe Buck's Fan. So I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to start with the Kemper. Lee, you've worked with me for 2 years. You've been reading me. You've been doing this. You've been doing that. What are your reflections on 2 years with the Sage? What do you got to say?
Let's put it this way. A lot of these people in this building like to throw around the word professionalism. People who don't have journalism degrees. For whatever reason, they were intimidated by JoeBucksFan.com. Well, when you came aboard, they couldn't use that word as loosely as they used to because you have, when you came on board, you had 38 years of covering the NFL.
Ooh, that hurts to hear it. You know, it just makes me old over there. But it's been a pleasure working with you, Lee.
Same here, man.
And so we hope this continues.
We got to keep you on for 2 more years minimum because I want to see you in Vegas. I've already said I'd buy a hotel room for
you
for a week.
Esbitz, you got any pot shots you want to take at the Sage?
We don't have enough time for all the things that I could go
over. I believe
over.
I've got 580 items in your Ira queue over there.
Well, one thing that disturbs me, Ira, but it inspires me as well, as you know, I've mentioned this to you before, and I'm going to say it here right on the podcast. This weekend, I'm watching the Hall of Fame. I'm seeing Shireen Williams ride around, you know.
She's in the motorcade on Saturday morning.
She's in the motorcade. I'm seeing pictures. She's waving. She's now in the Hall of Fame, you know, which used to cover the Bucks, and then she was covering Dallas for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram,
right,
and now she works
right.
for Pro Football Talk. Ira, come on. I think you nailed this down this year. We can get you on that ballot for the Ryder Hall of Fame.
Well, nobody's ever called the Bucks America's team over there at the Kemper, and sometimes that helps a little bit. You get a higher profile. Every time you looked at a circle around Jerry Jones, and of course he talked 4 times a week, there was Shireen. She's right next to Jerry Jones.
So what is
every
that?
Every time.
So what is that? What does that mean? So she's
national. You get known. Your name's out there.
So you're on Russo's show every week.
Well, one of these years the Bucks are going to win 11 games, and I'll get a little higher profile.
All right, look. A writer gets in every year. There's a writer's wing of the Hall of Fame. And I've read the bylaws, Ira, of what gets you in there. I've
only
read it.
Only Esbitz would read these bylaws.
I've read the details, and a big a big part of it is longevity.
I got longevity, gentlemen.
And
may not have quality, but I got longevity.
You got longevity. You've done some interesting things. As Lee said, you're a national figure. They scream for you on the radio. You're multimedia. Podcast. I don't see the Shireen Williams podcast anywhere. I don't see her on television like you are. So my point is, Ira, is that, you know what? I got to get you in that motorcade. Who's deserving? I'm looking at the list. I'm like, who's going in next year? Come on.
You never know. You never
Why
know.
Why not the Sage?
You know, one of these years, Jenna Lane gets a couple of votes or whatever, and next thing you know, she's riding in a motorcade.
All right. Enough of that. No, it's been your third year with Joe Buck's Fan. Fun, Ira, fun. And I know you got at least I'm going to say you got 8 to 10 years left in you. That's my gut.
I was going to go out with the Bucks with the Tampa Super Bowl, but you guys are going to force me to keep.
Yes, nonsense.
Minimum two years.
What are you going to do? Come on.
What am I going to do? Play shuffleboard every day?
Guys run for president. They're 70 years old. You can do a podcast till you're 75.
What am I going to do? Play poker with Javier online? For 3 hours a day? No, I can't do it.
All right. Now we're here at Bucks Camp today, and a couple interesting things, Ira. Very interesting. Dirk Cutter's up there at the podium.
And I'm right next to him.
He's talking about guys like Brad Seaton and Cole Gardner getting a lot of reps on Thursday night because they're decimated on the offensive line, decimated on the right side, and then he rolls into, quote, we might have to adjust the play calling accordingly, meaning translation, we don't want the quarterback getting killed.
That's exactly what that means.
So what do you make of this, and how is this screwing up the team's preparation?
Probably means you get a healthy dose of Ronald Jones and the rookie out of Duke that they're falling in love with over there, and Quiz Rogers and least favorite, Charles Sims. now, look, I asked Cutter directly later, and Lee, you heard the tape. Are you concerned about the right side of the offensive line? Are you concerned? Or is it just unsettled right now? He went into the injuries thing. They'll all be back. They'll all be back. Talking about Dotson, Benenock. Guys, what's going on with Benenock? It's a golden opportunity for this kid. Right guard, you're losing your spot to a rookie from Humboldt State. Lee, bullish on the D-line. You're bullish on the receivers and the tight ends and this and that. Concerns about the secondary, of course, beyond Grimes, who's not practicing. But, Lee, what is going on with the right side of the O-line? It looks like a problem.
Well, Steve and I set off the alarms when shortly after DeMar Dotson, your very Ira Kaufman podcast, said he was given a green light for all football activities. Later, he's undergoing surgery. And at that point, Steve and I issued the alarm, like, look out.
And then, Lee, he tells me last week, you know, in a one-on-one interview, I'm not where I thought I would be.
Well, obviously.
He's behind schedule. Is there any way he's playing Thursday night?
No,
absolutely not.
I'm not ready to panic. Am I worried? Sure. I remember a couple years ago. Now, when I say this name, people immediately are going to you know, fall out of their chair or run into the ditch. They're listening while they're driving. The Bucks pulled Godser Chairless off the scrap heap.
He belonged on the scrap heap.
Well, one year he did okay. Dotson was hurt that year. He did fine.
And then they went to Jerry's World.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, initially he did okay. And I would lay money down that toward the end of the month they'll pull someone off unemployment list and bring
you
in a right tackle.
I agree with that. Now, Steve, Benenock better get his butt in gear. He's losing the battle right now. You can't win the battle if you're not on the field. So, you know, everybody's talking about Kappa this, Kappa that. I don't know. And still in my mind, you know, 3 years from now, he's the right tackle. I still think he's built for right tackle. But right now, he's the right guard.
I don't disagree.
Steve, is Benenock coming back on the field anytime soon?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. And the bottom line is, in the preseason, there's no injury report. They don't have to specify anything. Benenock missed 3 days a row of practice now, and there's no update. He's not going to play Thursday. We're pretty certain of that. So Cutters, we know his Jack Del Rio method, Ira, is to make sure everybody's healthy and ready for camp, or excuse me, for opening day. And if camp has to be a little softer or he's got to be super careful with guys, that's the way it is. I'm not calling any of these guys soft. I don't even know what's wrong with Caleb Benenock, but would he have practiced 20 years ago if this was practice? Maybe. I don't know. But it is a problem.
Who's starting at right tackle Thursday night?
Well, it'll probably be one of these guys, Cole Gardner, Brad Seaton. Now, DeMar Dotson did an interview with WDAE. It was not on the air. It was off to the side, one of these like Facebook things. And I'm going to write it up. It was very disturbing if you are counting on DeMar Dotson playing on opening day. He's just not, I know he said it to you, Ira, but he detailed a little more. He's just not where he wanted to be physically.
He hasn't been doing 11-on-11.
And he's going to be 33 years old, and the season opens on the turf, which is hard enough on your knees. The guy's got a knee problem, and this is his third knee issue in the NFL. You know, it's a little scary. But
is there any way Dotson could be a casualty, Lee? Is there any chance?
I don't know about casualty, but will he play 16 games? That's very much up in the air.
No, I'm talking about a roster casualty.
No, I doubt it. Okay. But I'm pretty convinced that the week of the first game, I would not be shocked if they bring someone in. What's as concerning, maybe more concerning, first off, Cutter said, he all but said these guys are going to be back, they're going to be fine, nothing major. Okay, great. Well, when we first heard about Dotson, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't trust the Bucks when it comes to injuries. I mean, how many times did we hear pick a name of a player that was injured? Oh, he'll be fine. He should be ready. We're hopeful. Baloney.
They're not the only team that does that.
Not the only team that does that, but doesn't mean I have to believe them. And so far, the Bucks have a track record of conning people with injuries. And whatever reasons they do that, either that or they're being overly happy, overly positive, overly enthusiastic, for lack of a better word, that these guys are going to bounce back immediately. And so when the Bucks talk injuries, I'm sorry, they lost credibility.
Hey, Steve, one thing I've been thinking about, because you just mentioned something about right tackle. You know, we're looking ahead to the Saints game, and everybody talks about Breeze, Michael Thomas, Kamara, you know, these weapons. Correct me if I'm wrong. Cameron Jordan's one of the best defensive ends in football. I know that's correct. And they moved up in the draft and took the Davenport kid.
Who's been dinged up himself.
Who's been dinged up, but he could be ready for week one.
Sure.
And so they're coming off those edges, and if Davenport's the player that the Saints think he is, that could be a problem if the Bucks don't have Dotson ready.
Look,
and Jordan's going to give Donovan Smith all he wants.
I've been very bearish about this team, especially since the Jameis suspension was announced.
I've tried to keep you on a level keel.
And now you're starting to see the light.
Well, I'm just saying, it's a challenge. There's no question it's a challenge.
Well, you know, look, it changes the offense if Dotson's not healthy and they're worried. And this is sort of goes back to Cutter's, even just his quote about changing play calling for a vanilla preseason game. You know, of course, we're looking ahead to opening day. But yeah, sure, you could throw a tight end on that side. You don't have to really worry about Cameron Jordan very much, but that changes your offense if you got to use an extra guy, and then all of a sudden Ronald Jones isn't playing as much because they need a better pass blocker.
Thank you.
And things change.
By the way, wasn't Dotson's surgery routine minor surgery?
Well, that's what
meniscus,
they say.
That's a tennis injury. You're back out there in 8 weeks.
That's my next thing is that so we are May, June, July. We are just about 4 months from Dotson's surgery. And, you know, he's obviously cleared for activities, but he's not ready.
It's not a torn ligament.
And you wonder why I'm skeptical of when they talk injuries.
We're all rooting for Dotson.
Yeah.
We're not rooting against the guy.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that, you know, Cutter said today, now here I am believing in injury talk. He said all these guys are going to be back. It's just a matter of time.
He did.
But, again, when they, you know, they come out, well, we're hopeful, so-and-so.
I'm not worried about Brent Grimes missing practice.
I got you.
But these other guys, you know.
Well, the right side of the line.
It's becoming an issue. Yeah.
All right, Ira. Now, look, on the injury front, because it's become front and center here with the Bucks, Dirk Cutter acknowledged today that Mitch Unrein was one of four or five, that's his quote, four or five guys who left the field with injuries today. And Cutter said, you know, he doesn't even know what the medical scene is till late in the day. That's a lot of guys. That's even more guys. I don't even know who all those guys are. You know, a guy tweaks something. He's not in practice. He doesn't walk off.
But, Steve, it happens at everybody's camp.
I know, but it's adding up, and it seems to happen to the Bucks a lot, and we didn't get in the game yet. You know, it happens in everybody's camp, but you know what? They get into the preseason game, and then two or three more guys fall off, and it's a little scary.
Fortunately, they have some depth at D-line, and Vay is coming back. But Lee, you heard Duck Cutter, and I asked him about Vea today.
Thank you,
and guys, he said, and reiterating what the three of us have said, I've had a calf injury. I've had one. You can't run on it until it's healed. You cannot run on it. And I don't weigh 350, guys, no matter what stick carriers say. Steve, I don't know if you've ever had a calf strain. Lee, a calf strain? It's no picnic. And the last thing Cutter said about Vea is, we got to get that calf healed. Mm-hmm. And it's not healed, and he ain't gonna play until it's healed.
Well, you know what the most interesting thing he said about Vea was, at least for me, wasn't about the injury. He's losing weight. As if Cutter was acknowledging he's too heavy.
That's exactly my thought when I read the quote. I was like, what? Cutter's saying he's losing weight, he's dropping weight, as if it was part of a new regimen to get back healthy. It's like, what? You know, that was a little bit scary.
You know,
there.
The weight stuff is interesting. Noah Spence is padding up. You know, Vay is losing weight. Barber lost weight. Looks a little quicker.
Well, with Noah Spence, have you seen that guy? The word chiseled springs to mind. Chiseled, I mean, he looks like a Greek goddess.
A lot of people in this building think Noah Spence is going to have a big year. However, the same thing last year.
Did you see Steve's reaction?
I saw Steve.
Oh, the facial reaction.
They said the same thing last year.
Yeah, it's great. Good. I hope he does. I hope he can stay healthy. There's some bizarre stuff going on with that guy's history, but he has a chance to write a new
chapter. They said the same thing about McCoy after 2 years. What's going on with the biceps? 2 years, two different biceps.
It's different. McCoy wasn't, you know, having a yo-yo weight situation and not being able to figure out exactly where
he was. But there were some people saying McCoy's injury prone. They did say that second year, and it turns out he's not.
He was injury prone initially.
Not well. Here's one.
You know, a lot of people forget he got injured in his 14th game. That's not exactly losing a whole season.
Right.
Since you brought up Noah Spence, I asked Buckner about Spence today. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. You know, he likes his heart and his passion, but he didn't come out and say. You know, other people are saying, oh, he's having a beastly training camp. Buckner did not say that.
Okay.
You know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I thought that was interesting.
All right, Ira.
Buckner,
look.
Fire off any four-letter words to you over there?
No, he was very short and he said, hey, I'm just doing a story on Spence, and I want your feedback on him. And he gave me some interesting stuff.
Important Ira Kaufman-related business. First, now everybody can go to joebucksfan.com, and it's very easy to find Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast. In the podcast, you have all the information, right, to start the podcast on how to register and get in on the free Joe Bucks Fan Hooters Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Fantasy League. Mr. Sage was in the semifinals last year. We are drafting again live. You have to be there live. Sorry, out-of-town listeners, this comes up. Todd Wright got a million requests last year. Can I Skype? Can we?
No, nothing remote.
You have to be there. So
Skype in a fantasy draft.
It's actually popular. People do it all over
and
the world.
And Brooke will be there. Brooke will be
yes,
there.
Yes, the Hooters calendar girls will be there working.
The calendar girls.
Now you got the Kemper calendar.
No. I'm going to clarify. Are you specifically the calendar girls?
Yes, two of them.
That's what he said.
I'll be a dirty old man. I'll be there.
Two of them specifically. Wednesday, August 22nd. All the details on entering. We already had plenty of people enter last year. We had a bit of a weather disaster on that night. A lot of people couldn't show or thought it was going to be rescheduled. No, it will be on just like it was last year, even if you need a boat to get there. Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Go into the podcast. First few minutes is all the details. Should be a great time.
And I'm sure if someone does not want to play fantasy football, they can still show up, drink beer, watch, mingle with the Sage a little bit, and ogle over the calendar girls.
I understand.
Absolutely. Todd Wright runs a very fast and smooth and efficient drafting process. Prizes are great. Last year's winner will be there, Robert Wright, who will be going to opening day.
Todd had no issue with heckling Ira for being...
Steve, when I finished my team, you know, everybody finished their teams, and Todd did a quick look at everybody's roster and says, Kaufman, you might hit 500 if you get lucky.
And then
I had like the best record in the league going into the last couple of weeks, and I ran into a guy who had Todd Gurley. He scored 5 touchdowns against me, Steve. 5.
Well, you heard it. And just to be clear, the last year's winner, Robert Wright, is not related to Todd Wright, and he's going to opening day.
Robert Wright.
He's a good man.
Robert Wright. Wasn't that the guy who ran NBC for a while?
No. I don't think so. What else you got, Steve?
All right, and of course, we are a month away from the big retreat, the Bourbon Street Takeover from fanretreat.com. Now, the fun part of that, Ira, is of course all the fans who go to fanretreat.com, sign in and go to popular retreats. You can see all the details. The night before, 5 o'clock, Manning Sports Bar in New Orleans. So the details are all at fanretreat.com. There's going to be an event. Lee, Ira will be talking. Justin Pulaski will be there. The Stick Carriers, the place is going to be Bucks crazy right in New Orleans.
Right near Harrods. You can go to the casino right after
that. Yeah, go to the casino afterwards, hit the streets, you know, get a dinner reservation somewhere at 6:30 after all of the fun and the pep rally. And we actually have, I got a lead on someone who might be there, which would be really cool.
That's great.
So that's exciting. FanRetreat.com, your home. You can get all your tickets there. And you know what? If you want to drive in or you're flying from somewhere else or you can't do the whole retreat or you want to make a week of it, Fan Retreat can hook you up in all different ways. Get there, sign in, see who's going, and it's going to be a lot of fun. FanRetreat.com is where to go. Click on Popular Retreats. There's a few other retreats in there now, not just the Bourbon Street Takeover. So look
and
for
I'm bringing
that.
Out the Sage shirt again, Steve. Sage shirt's coming out that night.
Now, this weekend, Ira, we won't touch on it too much, but you have a minute on your the excitement that you saw. You know, the Stick Carriers out there chanting for players. They were out there at 6:30 in the morning. Some of the pictures are fantastic with the line of fans. It was unfortunate, really, that the Bucks didn't really make it an open practice with unlimited tickets and, you know, to let the fans just go nuts and overflow it. But your thoughts on the fun?
I thought the passion was evident, Lee. You know, when I walked down that line where I saw the commish about halfway down there, boy, there were a lot of people out there. And they were into it. And they gave Jameis a big introduction, too. And I'm sure he appreciated it. That's my quarterback. You know, after going through what he's going through, and he kind of looks forlorn. You had a classic picture posted last week.
That was Steve
who
took that. Where he
Steve,
like
hell of a picture. Looked like a lost puppy dog. Yeah. That was a pick-me-up for Winston. And the Stick Carriers got to experience the indoor facility, which the Bucks did first class. They did a first-class job on it. There's no question about it. You know, we're going to do it again next year. We'll do it again during some home games this year. There'll be a turnout. The players appreciate it, Lee. Cutter appreciates it. So I think it's a good thing we should keep it going. And I look forward to seeing many of them. And, Lee, you'll be there on the night before the
season.
Hope
so. I'm starting to get to the point where, you know, when they say, hey, there is no tomorrow, there's only today, I'm getting to that age, Ira.
Well, if I know you, Lee, you're going to go into New Orleans about 4 days before the game. Just to go to that gumbo shop about 3 times, and you're gonna take me to the gumbo shop.
I will.
So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Ira. Jason Light did an interview with Fox 13. I don't know if you got to see it, but 2 minutes with Kevin O'Donnell there. Light, he's calling JPP phenomenal. He's said Gerald McCoy had the best camp so far of since Light has been in town. He's praising Mike Evans for a great camp. They even asked him, anybody you want to call out off the radio? And Light's like, no, don't want to go there. And then 2 seconds later, Alex Kappa, watch out for this guy. And Light was just bursting with enthusiasm. And, this is a team that sort of is trying to be under the radar in their mindset of discipline and not getting too excited. But Light couldn't contain himself. What do you make of that? You talked to him.
Guys, I did talk to him. Now, guys, I don't forget things. And that's one of the reasons I've lasted in this business. Mm-hmm. I store things like a little chipmunk. And, and Lee, you're going to remember this. Look, I love Light's enthusiasm and passion. He's talking about the rookie running back from Duke, like the guys, Barry Sims over there. But, Lee, don't you remember a few years ago, it might be 3 years ago, and I can't remember, it was an offensive lineman. They got to pick him up from Kansas City on waivers. Light's talking him up in the preseason. Ooh, this guy's a monster. He's going to compete. A couple of late, August 29th, I look at the transaction wire. The guy, the Bucks waived so-and-so. I see Light the next day. I go, what the heck happened? His play fell off at the end of the preseason. We had to let him go. We had too much competition at the position. Then they went out and averaged 3.7 yards a rush. So I've learned, Lee, the hard way, and you know what I mean, that you take this stuff with a little bit of grain of salt with Light. But I'm glad he's enthused about these guys. Now, look, when he talks up JPP, McCoy, Evans, guys like that, those are given commodities. Mm-hmm. Lee, I want to know, how's Justin Evans looking? How's Glanton looking, the former Glanton, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Formerly known as Glanton,
How's Benenock looking when he plays? Mm-hmm. I want to know about some of these unknown guys. Ronald Jones, is he catching the ball? Is he blocking? Is he picking up the playbook? I don't need him to tell me that JPP's a good player.
That's a no-brainer, you're right.
Well,
you know what? Since you bring up Ronald Jones' name, am I off base? Outside of one or two plays where when he got to the open field, you could see the speed. Untrained eyes, he's a jag. Just a guy.
Well,
nothing's really jumping out to me.
Lee, you're the guy that overheard a conversation where it seemed like you were struggling to pick up the playbook a little bit, too. You're not calling Ronald Jones a bust. We'll see.
No, not even close.
He's going to get his carries in the preseason.
Yeah,
at
this point, I just don't see anything special, anything electric. Outside of one or two runs when he got in the open field, okay. But he's not going to get in the open field.
Steve, he looks like a change of pace back. And if you read my column on Monday, you realize that this job's Peyton Barber's. It's Peyton Barber's to lose. If he gets the job done and if he runs with the success that he did in December, Buck fans are going to be very happy with this running game because Barber, that was a great quote that Joe Hawley gave me last December when I asked him, hey, what's it like to block for Peyton Barber? And I didn't need him to take a pot shot at Doug Martin. And he goes, Peyton Barber, he gets what's there and a little more. I mean, that's high praise from an offensive lineman.
I haven't seen much out of Ronald Jones. Like I said, he's a rookie. He's learned. I'm not down on the guy. I'm just offering my observation of him. Unlike Godwin, every practice that guy makes a spectacular catch. Mike Evans is having a ridiculous training camp. O.J. Howard, he goes out there every practice, see him make a hell of a play. I can't say that about Ronald Jones.
By the way, the ascension of Godwin at an ungodly rate just backs up what I said. I don't think you guys would disagree that the odds on DeSean Jackson being a Buck in 2019, I think they're minuscule.
You made that prediction when he was first signed.
Yeah. Now watch Steve disagree with me. He's going to, if he had a pen, he'd be writing something right now.
I got
right
a pen, Ira. I got a pen. Well, there's three layers to this. First, on the Ronald Jones thing, no one is saying he's the toast of camp. Coaches aren't implying it, and he hasn't showed it yet. But the reality is running backs, they don't prove anything in camp. Get into the preseason. Let's see what you do with 20 carries against guys who really want to rip your head off and against real
blocking.
Can
you make guys miss?
Can you read at the NFL speed and all this stuff? So, running back, but still, he's not the toast of camp by any stretch of the imagination. And when he drops the football and doesn't look comfortable catching it, that's obvious. The other thing, Godwin, I still say, look, he caught 32, 33 balls last year, caught his first touchdown the last play of the year. I still want to see him do it.
Right.
But DeSean Jackson, I'll put it to you this way, Ira. If the Bucs are good this year, let's just say they're good. Let's call good 9-7. If DeSean Jackson has a DeSean Jackson kind of year, and he opens up the offense and he has 1,000 yards and breaks a few. How do you get rid of him? If he's good and he's signed, the fans will freak out.
Salary cap.
And, well, if he changes the offense and is at himself, he becomes a guy that you can't get rid of.
You would think he'd be vulnerable. You would think. No, but he's got to have – if he has a Deshaun Jackson year, and that means 8 or 9 touchdowns, including a couple of 60-yarders, which he didn't come close to last year, then he makes it interesting. No question.
Yeah, interesting.
What's going to be very interesting is the Bucs aren't going to have the money to keep guys. The Ali Marpets, Quan Alexanders, Donovan Smith, who I think is almost – if he has a regular average season and doesn't get hurt – it's almost a lock he's going to be resigned.
And then you got the Winston thing hanging over
your head. You got the Winston thing. They can't sign everybody, unfortunately. Yeah. So Light's going to have to make a really, really tough decision. Do you make that tough decision with a young guy like Alexander or Marpet? Or do you make an example of a very expensive veteran who's seen better
days?
Now,
Steve, I'm going to put it to you, Steve. This is a real tough one. Steve, what if they go 5-11 and they want to re-sign Marpet, Alexander, and Smith, and the Glazers go to Jason Light, if Light's still the GM at that point, which is an if they go 5-11. Could the Glazers go to Jason Light and say, wait a minute, we're tying up 6-7 guys over here, and we're not winning? Well, what's going on here? Are they that good?
I really think it depends how the season plays out.
Steve, that could be a hell of a conversation.
Look, injuries usually straighten out any salary cap issues, and signing guys usually sort of works itself out, or lack of production. And in the scenario you're painting, Ira, just your scenario, in that scenario, if the Bucks are 5-11 and they're looking at
are you in a hurry to sign these guys?
Well, sure, you re-sign the young guys and get rid of the old guys. Get rid of the Gerald McCoys and the Lavonne Davids who are making a ton of money because, hey, why do we need...
If
we're 5-11 and rebuilding, do you really need 31-year-old Gerald McCoy?
Lee, if they go 5-11, the running game's not any good. Don't the Glazers have the right to say to Light, why do we want Donovan Smith? What's going on here? Where's the running game?
You're one of those fans. You automatically equate running to offensive line. Do they go hand in hand? Most of the time, yeah. A good running back will find a hole. I mean,
yeah, this will be 3 years in a row they don't run the ball.
C.J. Anderson had 1,000 yards last year, and Denver had a completely garbage offensive line. Doug Martin had the worst yards per carry for consecutive seasons, 83 freaking
years. I set him up, Steve, just to hear him. Just to hear him do that.
Yeah,
Doug Martin
just
line.
No way in hell that Bucks offensive line was the worst in 83 years. Hell, it wasn't the worst Bucks offensive line in 5 years here, much less being the worst in 83 years.
Steve, we're going to answer some questions.
I've got to roll
on our next podcast. Yeah, I do have to roll a little bit, but I got another minute or two for you.
All right, Sage, your friend Mike Neighbors interviewed Vernon Hargraves the other day. Hargraves made it very clear in that interview. He was very, very candid and said the Buccaneers expect him to be an All-Pro player, a Pro Bowl player, and he's being coached very hard. And Hargraves, said it's coming on, it's all coming on him, and he appreciates it. And he looks as the two rookies as backups and depth that they really needed. What do you make of him saying that, hey, I'm being told in this building that I got to be an all pro. That's where I got to be.
Well, I like the fact that he's being coached up to that extent. Now, when it comes to technique, we'll see. They don't have to do much with Brent Grimes. He was an outstanding player when he came to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee, you've made this point a million times. I'll make it now before you get there. they don't have a history of developing young cornerbacks.
No.
Not even young cornerbacks. Werner didn't get any better when he was here. You throw him in there. Now, Lee, I'll say this. If Hargraves takes a big leap up, it would do wonders for this defense. Wonders.
Yeah, big time.
You know,
yes, I agree.
And you combine that with what we think is going to be a pretty good pass rush, not dominant, but a pretty good pass rush. All of a sudden, if Hargraves develops into a pretty good outside corner, we know what Grimes can do, and maybe one of these rookies can step in and help out.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Evans, I think, has a lot of talent at safety.
He made a nice play Saturday, didn't he?
Made a nice play. They might have the makings of a pretty good secondary,
yeah,
Lee, but Hargraves right now, it's all talk. It's all talk.
Yeah, it is. But real quick, I just want to, when your feedback, Ira, Brent Grimes is hurt. He's in shorts. We don't know what the injury is, but again, Cutter said all these guys are going to be back. Grimes could be on the sidelines if he wanted to. He could be indoors working out in the air conditioning if he wanted to. Instead, that son of a gun's on the field almost every play.
He was one of the last guys off the field today.
Well, I mean, he's absolutely on the field. Looks like he's playing center field. He's on the field doing mental reps as if he's trying to learn, keeping his mind sharp. He is on the field as if he's a fifth cornerback, fifth defensive back, and he looks like he's playing center field. I just think that's cool as heck.
Yeah, we had hit on that last podcast. He continues to do it, so it's very impressive.
And I got a hello from Miko the other day over there.
Did you? Steven? I haven't seen her yet.
Nice. Yes, I did.
It's not just a one-off thing from Grimes. I mean, he's on the field standing next to a coach. He's getting different angles on the receivers and watching. It's very interesting to watch.
That's a pro.
His approach to it. Last one, Sage. Chuck Pagano out here at practice today, friend of Dirk Cutter. Cutter said he was going to be here for 2 days. And
I'm hoping to talk to him tomorrow. I'm hoping
to as well. Cutter didn't put it out there really like, oh, he's just watching, we're having a couple of beers in. He put it as I think he almost said he signed for 2 days, or he agreed to 2 days, I believe was the language Cutter used, agreed to 2 days. Now, even if I'm wrong with that, it doesn't matter. The point is, Chuck Pagano is a former defensive backs coach. That's his longtime history before he came a D coordinator, before he became that, and before he became a head coach. Do you think that this is a consulting possibility, like a feel out, like Pagano's here to, hey, he'll sit in the meeting, see if he gets along with Mike Smith, and maybe he could be hired as a defensive consultant, not to coach, since he's still under contract?
My take on it, Steve, was that Pagano might be helping specifically Lee with the new rules. You know, he's going to play a role in the NFL this year, in the offseason. And Cutter likened it to what Mike Smith did after he was fired by the Falcons and before he came to Tampa for a couple of years, Lee. Pagano well-versed in the new rules. And believe me, guys, because I saw a demonstration at the May meetings in Atlanta, it's going to take some getting used to by these players. There is going to be some major adjustments in August and September before they get this down with the don't lead with your helmet. And, you know, I mean, it goes against natural tendencies.
Sure.
It's hard.
And what they've been trained forever.
Yeah. So I first and foremost, I think Pagano's here to help clarify those rules with some of the defensive players. But you're not wrong. Down the line, Pagano could definitely play a role on this coaching staff. We'll see.
How could I not be wrong? I didn't say anything.
I just asked
you a question.
Well, you know, my first reaction is you're wrong.
I got it. And you know what? That might not be a bad reaction. All right, Sage, you watch any of Johnny Football on CFL Friday night?
I saw the highlights or the lowlights, whatever you want. And by the way, Saturday night, I watched all the speeches at the Hall of Fame. And I'm sitting there and I say to my wife, boy, I miss not being in Canton. I love that trip. It's a great trip to be around all these immortals. See how much this means to these players. Terrell Owens, you missed a hell of a night. Shame on you, Terrell.
And Ira, well, of course, we're full circle because we want you to be in the writer's wing. I don't know why you're not buying in on this. I can't even get your buy-in on this.
You don't
this,
have right? any juice, Steve. You can't make this happen. You don't have any juice. See how I laid a challenge down firmly?
All right, enough of you.